Today, transitory, inflation is back, baby. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Overnight, we got the latest decision from the US Federal Open Market Committee, and they kept its benchmark federal funds rate steady for a second straight meeting in the target range of 4.25 to 4.5%. But in the subsequent press conference, where Fed Chair Jerome Powell seemed to be tiptoeing through a potential minefield, he said the committee had down forecast growth, increased inflation expectations, and said the full impact of tariffs had yet to work through.
Good afternoon. My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on achieving our dual mandate goals of maximum employment and stable prices for the benefit of the American people. The economy is strong overall and has made significant progress toward our goals over the past 2 years. Labor market conditions are solid, and inflation has moved closer to our 2% longer run goal, though it remains somewhat elevated. In support of our goals, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. We also made the technical decision to slow the pace of decline in the size of our balance sheet. I'll have more to say about these decisions after briefly reviewing economic developments. Economic activity continued to expand at a solid pace in the fourth quarter of last year, with GDP rising at 2.3%. Recent indications, however, point to a moderation in consumer spending following the rapid growth seen over the second half of 2024. Surveys of households and businesses point to heightened uncertainty about the economic outlook. It remains to be seen how these developments might affect future spending and investment. In our summary of economic projections, the median participant projects GDP to rise 1.7% this year, somewhat lower than projected in December, and to rise a bit below 2% over the next 2 years. In the labor market, conditions remain solid. Payroll job gains averaged 200,000 per month over the past 3 months. The unemployment rate at 4.1% remains low and is held in a narrow range for the past year. The jobs-to-workers gap has held steady for several months. Wages are growing faster than inflation and at a more sustainable pace than earlier in the pandemic recovery. Overall, a wide set of indicators suggests that conditions in the labor market are broadly in balance. The labor market is not a source of significant inflationary pressures. The median projection for the unemployment rate in the SEP is 4.4% at the end of this year and 4.3% over the next 2 years. Inflation has eased significantly over the past 2 years, but remains somewhat elevated relative to our 2% longer run goal. Estimates based on the Consumer Price Index and other data indicate that total PCE prices rose 2.5% over the 12 months ending in February, and that excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core PCE prices rose 2.8%. Some near-term measures of inflation expectations have recently moved up. We see this in both market and survey-based measures, and survey respondents, both consumers and businesses, are mentioning tariffs as a driving factor. Beyond the next year or so, however, most measures of longer-term expectations remain consistent with our 2% inflation goal. The median projection in the SEP for total PCE inflation is 2.7% this year and 2.2% next year, a little higher than projected in December. In 2027, the median projection is at our 2% objective. Our monetary policy actions are guided by our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. At today's meeting, the committee decided to maintain the target range for the federal funds rate at 4.25% to 4.5%. Looking ahead, the new administration is in the process of implementing significant policy changes in four distinct areas: trade, immigration, fiscal policy, and regulation. It is the net effect of these policy changes that will matter for the economy and for the path of monetary policy. While there have been recent developments in some of these areas, especially trade policy, uncertainty around the changes and their effects on the economic outlook is high. As we parse the incoming information, we're focused on separating the signal from the noise as the outlook evolves. As we say in our statement, in considering the extent and timing of additional adjustments to the target range for the federal funds rate, the committee will assess incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks. We do not need to be in a hurry to adjust our policy stance, and we are well positioned to wait for greater clarity. In our SEP, FOMC participants wrote down their individual assessments of an appropriate path for the federal funds rate based on what each participant judges to be the most likely scenario going forward. An admittedly challenging exercise at this time in light of considerable uncertainty. The median participant projects that the appropriate level of the federal funds rate will be 3.9% at the end of this year and 3.4% at the end of next year, unchanged from December. While these individual forecasts are always subject to uncertainty, as I noted, uncertainty today is unusually elevated. And of course, these projections are not a committee plan or a decision. Policy is not on a preset course. As the economy evolves, we will adjust our policy stance in a manner that best promotes our maximum employment and price stability goals.
And while the FOMC did slow the pace of balance sheet runoff, their updated forecasts and dot plots betrayed little concern about the growth scare that has gripped markets. More rate cuts are expected, perhaps two through the year, despite the higher inflation and lower growth. During the press conference, Powell was asked about sagging sentiment from businesses and consumers, and he said hard data shows the economy is still solid. The Fed chief also went on to express confidence that long-term inflation expectations remained well anchored, despite a series of readings from the University of Michigan survey calling that into question. The most recent report showed consumers expect prices to rise at an annual rate of 3.9% over the next 5 to 10 years. That's the highest in more than three decades. But Powell largely dismissed the data, calling it an outlier more than once. Significantly, though, he dusted off the old transitory moniker again, which you'll recall was used through the early phase of the strong inflationary pulse we saw post-COVID. It was then dispatched to the dustbin of stupid and unhelpful terms. That is, until it resurrected in the press conference yesterday. Seeing as they got it so wrong last time, the question is, was it wise to do that? I'm not so sure that it'll help their credibility this time around. As I mentioned, it can be the case that it's appropriate sometimes to look through inflation if it's going to go away quickly without action by us. If it's transitory, Powell said, and he called that scenario the base case, but then hedged it, saying officials really can't know if the effect will be temporary. Start making T-shirts. Transitory. We are back, said Christian Hoffman at Thorberg Investment Management. The market will read this as dovish at the margin, with the Fed not overtly concerned with the economy or inflation. Stocks and bonds rejoice. Their problem is trying to figure out the impact of the ranging tariffs on inflation. Powell zoned in on the potential shift in the price level, a one-time increase arising from tariffs, but not on the possibility that tariffs will result in persistently higher inflation. Consumers, of course, are already feeling the heat from the collective impact of higher prices, but it seemed like a least said, soonest mended moment to me, with Powell buying some time following previous rate cuts whilst they watched the data coming in. Powell downplayed simmering concerns about a slowdown, but acknowledged that tariff uncertainty was a factor and was already contributing to goods inflation. Trump's administration is preparing to announce a fresh wave of tariffs on April the 2nd, although the exact scope isn't yet clear. Trump has promised so-called reciprocal tariffs on at least some nations, though his administration has not specified which ones or what rate will be applied, and his key economic advisers have competing views on the best way to approach tariff policy. While earlier on Wednesday, Trump's national economic adviser, Kevin Hassett, stressed to reporters that the president and White House officials very much respect the independence of the Fed, President Donald Trump said the Federal Reserve should cut interest rates, splitting with the U.S. Central Bank as officials weigh the economic costs of his tariff push. The Fed would be much better off cutting rates as UF tariffs start to transition ease their way into the economy, Trump said in a post on Truth Social. Do the right thing. April the 2nd is Liberation Day in America. Markets reacted positively to the Fed decision, with stocks climbing and bond yields falling as Jerome Powell calmed tariff-obsessed investors, signaling the Federal Reserve saw no need for drastic action in the face of Donald Trump's trade war. Jump in stocks was the biggest for any Fed day since July, following a bruising four-week stretch in which the S&P 500 slid into a correction. Treasuries saw an abrupt reversal, with two-year yields sinking below 4%, and the S&P 500 rose 1.1%, the NASDAQ gained 1.3%, the Dow Jones was 0.9% higher, and mega caps like Nvidia and Tesla led market gains. Incidentally, because the Fed will also start shrinking its balance sheet at a slower pace starting in April, that'll mean it'll be reducing the amount of bond holdings it lets roll off every month. So that actually is a quasi-rate cut without actually being a rate cut. Again, this is engineering a watch and wait period for the Fed, and perhaps the possibility of a real rate cut will be clearer by the northern summer. So this was a do-no-harm press conference, but I suspect despite wanting to calm the markets and avoid tripping over Trump, the truth is the data-dependent Fed is itself unsure of future trajectory, which may not bode well for the rest of us. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.